It is time once again for Open Court, the player edition, as we sit down for a conversation with one of the Fairfield Stags. I'm Bob Huesler, joined by my broadcast partner of 19 years, the former Fairfield great, the Hall of Famer Joe DeSantis, and it's our pleasure to welcome for the first time the Stags starting point guard, freshman guard Tony Budda Williams. He has started the last six for the Stags, but really got the attention of the coaches by giving Fairfield 31 really good minutes at Merrimack, did that off the bench, and ever since then, he has been part of the starting rotation. And we always start with the very difficult questions, Tony. Do you prefer Tony or Budda or a combination of both?
I'll really say I prefer Budda more than Tony because that's really what I've been called more likely for the last couple of years now.
All right, so when we are on the air, it's got to be Budda and maybe throw in the occasional Tony.
Yeah.
And where did the Budda, we have an idea, and I think we've been told by several people where the Budda nickname came from, but why don't you give our listeners an idea?
It really came from the year after COVID during high school public year. It really came from me just being on the court, just showing my flat, being flashy. So it really just came from that.
Smooth as?
Budda.
Budda, yeah. COVID years, Joe. Remember those years? Yeah. Those bring back great memories, huh? How difficult was it as a player negotiating those COVID years, which, again, we hope we never have to see again?
I'd say it was just really difficult mentally, really just trying to decide, like, what I really wanted to do, if I wanted to stay public or go private or even prep. So I was really just trying to really figure out my options and decide which would be better for me.
Yeah, so public for you was Norwich Free Academy.
Yeah.
Eventually, you did go the prep school route, Putnam Science. What was the timeline there? How many years were you at Norwich Free Academy before making the transition to Putnam?
I was at Norwich Free Academy for 3 years, freshman through junior. And then I went to Putnam Science Academy and did a reclass year and then a post-grad year.
Okay, so you ended up at Putnam. You played 2 years then.
Yes.
At Putnam. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. So here you are now, starting guard for a Division I team. It's a lot of responsibility, which requires a lot of confidence. Have you always had self-confidence? Has it been something that you even have to think about, the fact that you are the starting point guard for a mid-major college basketball team?
What I'll say is I've always had confidence growing up, but it's like moving to something new and different. Like, you're going to be nervous at times, but once you get comfortable and you figure out what your role is and what you have to do to win, and it just really gets comfortable from there.
As I said, you earned the starting nod after coming off the bench with the 31-minute performance, really solid in that game at Merrimack. It was a Fairfield loss, but then you were handed the reins in the next game, and you've been starting ever since. What was the conversation between you and Coach Chris Casey as to, okay, here's what I'm going to do with you, and what did you give him back in terms of accepting that role and the confidence that he would have to have in you?
It was really about just being a pure point guard, not turning the ball over, and just being myself at times, knowing what's good and what's bad, controlling the team, and just helping out to win offense and defense.
How did you react when he approached you about the idea of putting you in the starting lineup?
I would say I was happy, confident of it, and just got to keep that spot.
Were you surprised by the move?
Not really, because I always knew I could be a starter at whatever program I go to. I just got to put my mind and myself to it. So it was really just something I've been waiting for.
Your backcourt mate, he's no freshman. He's the only non-freshman right now in the starting five. And we're talking, of course, about Braden Sparks. What kind of a role has he played in helping you along and accepting your role as the lead guard?
I could say it takes a lot of pressure off the defense, really. So it's like me able to find others and just take some pressure off myself, giving him the ball, or even him giving me the ball. So it's just like a 1-2 punch type of thing.
But being a freshman this day and age, and we talked about it with Coach Casey, how it's harder these days because, and you guys are unusual, starting four with all the kids, the transfer players, the older players. How important was it for you to get that experience in the summer practices? Because remember, you know, back in the day, you were not allowed to practice in the summer. You stepped on campus in September, and it was here you go. So how important it was for you to be able to participate in those couple months?
I'll say it was really important to get here early, start lifting, getting my body right, and really just going at these guys every day, head to head, even if I was losing, I'm still coming to win the next play. So it was just really about who wanted it more, and I can say I really did want it more than others.
You just mentioned lifting, and you come to us today off of a lifting session as you sit down with us here in this podcast studio. How much have you felt you've gotten physically stronger as the season has progressed? And how hard is it to maintain that, considering, you know, how demanding the schedule is?
I would say coming from high school to college, it really is a different type of game. So you have to work more and get stronger. So I would say that I got stronger and I'm able to take a lot of bumps and hits and bruises. So it's not really anything special.
But have you found that to be one of the biggest parts of the transition to from prep school to Division One basketball, the fact that you're now going to up against some, you know, physically stronger and, you know, in terms of age, older point guards and opposing guards?
Yeah, I could say it really helped, you know, just being able to hold my ground and hold my own.
Do you consider yourself and I asked Chris Casey this, and I'll tell you what he answered, but do you consider yourself a pass-first point guard or a scoring point guard?
I could say I consider myself a score-first point guard, but at times I know how to be both, so I know when it's time to pass and when it's time to go score.
Yeah, he said he wants you to be both. Where do you think you need to work on each aspect a little bit more?
I would say scoring, because I know when it's time to pass and when it's time to make the right play, but sometimes I'm a little hesitant on when to go score the ball. So once I get that figured out, I'll be all set in the MAC.
I know Joe's big on this number. Your assist-to-turnover ratio is really good. I think, what is it, Joe? You usually keep track of this. You're 2-1, better than 2-1 right now. Has that always been a part of your game, that you've been a low turnover guard?
Yeah, I'll say the ball means everything. It's like your girlfriend. Don't let nobody take your girlfriend. So that means everything. You got to keep it wherever you go. Make sure it's with you. And make sure it gets to the other player.
What happens if you have a couple girlfriends? Becomes harder, doesn't it?
Don't turn them over.
2.4-1, Bob. 24 assists, 10 turnovers. Yeah. And, you know, the beautiful thing about that is that you play in an up-tempo system. Mm-hmm. Jeez, I've been around the game 100 years. Some guys play in the 50s. And when you turn the ball over, it's like 5 turnovers.
Absolutely.
So if you don't mind, I'd like to jump in. And let's go back a little bit. Talk to me about your recruitment. You know, in high school, prep school, what were the schools? Why Fairfield? Give me the whole thing.
Man, high school, from my sophomore to the, I think it was my second year junior summer of when I reclassed, I didn't have nothing. Mm. But that summer, it really just all started coming out. I was putting in the work on and off the court. I just really wanted it. So it was like by the end of the summer, I think every mid-major in the country was recruiting me. I was hearing from everyone trying to get me, going on a couple of visits. But something about Fairfield that really stood out was the environment and the coaching staff. They always told me the truth. They never lied to me, told me how it was going to be. I'm going to have to work for my spot, work for minutes, just be tough, play my game. They have confidence in me. So it's just like, I know this was the right spot for me.
Norwich Free Academy, geez, way, way back. You know, we had I don't want to say he's the last player from Norwich to ever play here, but I remember one player that played here, Greg Keith. When I was an assistant here back in the 80s, I don't want to say I recruited him, but I did a lot of recruitment. He went to Wake Forest and then transferred here. He's now a referee up in that era, big, tall dude. Has there been any mentors at Norwich Free Academy, anybody you talked to that played college ball that was helping you in your recruitment?
I wouldn't really say so. I mean, they going there, it was a good school, but the athletics really wasn't a big program. So it was best for me to leave and go elsewhere. But it was really helpful, a learning experience.
Who were your early basketball influences growing up in Norwich?
I wouldn't really say there was anyone there in Norwich that was really influencing me for basketball, but I would say it was like a family thing.
Getting back to your recruitment here at Fairfield, think, if I have this right, the other schools that were on your list were Albany and Bryant. I know Quinnipiac was also interested. How close did any of those schools I just mentioned, and were there any others How close did they come to maybe making you think a little harder about them before you chose Fairfield?
I had those schools. I had Gardner Webb, Hofstra was looking at me, Sacred Heart, FIU, FAU, on and on, a lot of schools. But really, it was just, when I came on Fairfield, I came on my visit, I just loved everything about the school. So it was just like, they have everything I need. Why not come here?
Do you know Nalise Dudley?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're from the same area.
Who's that, Bob, you're asking?
Yes.
She plays at Sacred Heart.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I do some Sacred Heart games also, so I was just curious. Yeah.
Who were the players who welcomed you? And I read that when you made your visits here to Fairfield, you had that family sense about things right from the get-go, and part of that was because the players were so welcoming.
Yeah.
Anybody specifically?
I would really say Breeden and Luke. Those were the two guys who really showed me the ropes and just really just welcomed me here to really get me to come commit. They just showed me a lot of love.
Who are the players who press you the hardest in practice?
Ooh, I'm going to have to probably say Eric. We're going at each other every day, head-to-head, just making each other better, working.
Describe a typical Fairfield practice. How competitive does it get?
Oh, man, argues, pushing, tackling, scratches, as you see on my neck.
Yeah.
I mean, diving on the ball.
Looks like somebody has to cut the fingernails.
Yeah.
Somebody got you good.
Usually, you might even get a little tussle here and there, but it's just fast-paced, going head-to-head all the time, competing competitions.
Which is all good. Joe, you went through a few of those.
Different back in the day. You know, in the 70s, as a coach, I played for Fred Barraquette. Most of the people listening to our podcast certainly know how tough he was. He was a big, big part of my life. And I'm going to generalize and maybe exaggerate, but I don't think a day went by the way there wasn't a fight in practice. So it certainly made me a better person.
No, it's a good thing. Competitive practices, and then you hit that next level when you come out and play a game. Speaking of competition, you won a national prep championship just a few months back playing for Putnam Science, and you played another Connecticut school in a national tournament. It happened to be another Connecticut school in St. Thomas More. And I think all our Fairfield fans know who is a star or one of the stars. Actually, there's another guy I'll bring up, but Brandon Benjamin played for that St. Thomas More team. So you have any bragging rights there? Anything you...
Yeah, so prior to the national championship, I was talking to him about coming here, how he would be a really big help coming here, just me and him playing together, from playing against each other. It would be a really good thing seeing us on the floor together as freshmen.
Okay, so at that point, so correct me if I'm wrong, that would have been March of 2025. Yeah. Brandon had not yet made his final decision about Fairfield?
Yeah, he was still looking, seeking his options, but I really told him, like, Fairfield would be a good decision. It'll all play out, just got to go with the process.
So we are going to give you the opportunity right here on this podcast to take credit for the fact that Brandon Benjamin ended up in Fairfield. Go right ahead and do it.
I take all credit for Brandon Benjamin coming here.
It's on tape. It's now forever in the digital universe. The other guy I wanted to ask you about on that Putnam Science team was Ben Ahmed, who is now a star. He's going to be a star at Oklahoma State. How close are you with him, and how close have you maintained contact?
I usually talk to him usually every week. You know, we still got that close Putnam bond, being there for 2 years, going to 2 national championships together, but winning one. You know, that's still my guy. You know, we talk. He's doing good, so.
You play for a championship team. You know something about what goes into a championship team's makeup. What do you see as similarities between the team that won a title, Putnam Science, and the cohesiveness and what you see going on in terms of chemistry here with this Fairfield team?
If I'm being honest, I could say it's really just like the year that we won. Sometimes things were going good, sometimes things were going bad, but as long as we stay on the same page and we all got belief and trust in each other, I feel like we can go win it.
What do you see as the biggest keys to this Fairfield season as this max season now gets up and running and you get into the really important games? As I said to Coach Casey on the podcast with him just a few moments ago, it's been a roller coaster season so far. So how do you get it to the point where that roller coaster is heading downhill with speed in the direction you want it to?
We all just got to stay together, have belief and trust in each other, and we can go as far as we think.
By the way, when I said downhill, I don't know if I got that right, but you get my point. Yeah. You want that thing going in the right direction. The other guards here, mm-hmm. what kind of competition? You talked about Eric and Deuce and, you know, Braden. You got a lot of guards. You want to get consistent play from all of them. What do you see as far as the keys to getting everybody on the same page? The back with the front court is the best in the MAC right now with the two freshmen. So how do the guards collectively get to that point where, okay, you're going, as I put it, in the right direction collectively?
I could say for the guards, if everyone plays their play their roles and just give their all in what they're supposed to be doing, we could be an even better team than we are right now.
Okay, we're going to get to that point in the podcast, Butta, where we ask you very difficult questions. Who is your favorite? What's your pregame routine? That's one we like to get into.
Usually, home game, I usually wake up, go get some shots in, work out, eat pregame meal, probably take a nap, and then get ready for the game. Probably come an hour and a half before, get more shots up, and then ready for warm-ups.
Do you listen to music before a game? And if you do, who's your artist of choice?
I would say, yeah, I'd say a little bit of music. Probably someone like, Drake.
Okay. Joe,
I heard of him.
Yeah. This is the first time that Joe and I.
Because he's a basketball fan. That's exactly the only reason why I heard of him.
That's true. Give us a good tune if we wanted to get into the
Probably Drake. Western Road Flows.
Okay. All right.
Do you have – is there a team on the schedule that you circled that you wanted to play against? Maybe you knew somebody on the other team or maybe not?
Not really. I'm not really worried about who other teams have or what mm-hmm. other teams got playing. I'm just focused about what Fairfield has in plan in mind.
Anybody that you have competed against, high school, prep, you also played – I don't want to say AAU team, your New Haven team.
Yeah.
What is that categorized as? What kind of a –
Made hoops.
Okay. You have encountered, obviously, lots of opposition during that time span. Anybody in the MAC right now that you're going to be getting rematches against?
I wouldn't say in the MAC, but we played NJIT. I have a former teammate on there from Putnam and New Haven Heat. I would say Q Duncan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And was it a coincidence that you had a really good game against NJIT? which you did. More tough questions. Who's the funniest player on the Fairfield Stags?
Halon.
We've been getting Halon.
Yeah, I think so.
We got to have to have him on. What makes him the funniest guy in the team?
Just a crazy, smiling, laughing person.
One of those up personalities. Never switch on him.
The New Yorker. He's from Brooklyn. What do you expect?
We asked you before we started rolling tape here. We'll ask you again, though. Do you have any favorite professional teams, any sport?
That's a hard one. I wouldn't say I have a favorite team, but probably a team I like, probably just the Spurs.
You're a Wemby fan?
A little bit.
Dylan Harper, a little bit more your age.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
He's having a good year. They could win it all, you know. You're going down to see the Knicks, I understand.
Yeah.
The team in the middle of this week is going down to see the Knicks and the Clippers. It's a team bonding exercise.
Yeah, that should be a good.
Looking forward to that?
Yeah, it should be a good environment, good flow for us.
How are you guys getting down there?
Train.
Who got you the tickets?
I have no clue.
I didn't think so.
You don't need to worry about that.
No, I'm wondering, though. That's a tough ticket. So somebody had to have ins. Getting the Knicks, they sell out every game. So.
You know, back in the day, that might have been considered an extra benefit, which would be illegal. Mm-hmm. But now, the door's wide open. You can do pretty much what you want. What
did you think of the fact that you got a guy, James Nagy, who was actually drafted? NBA draft pick who is now playing college basketball. How would you like to go up against a guy who was playing in the G League or maybe potential NBA draft pick someday? It could happen.
It's just crazy how older guys are just going back to college like it's nothing. Just like they should have experienced that route before trying to skip a couple steps.
Yeah, I agree. Have you faced any guys who are like, you look at him and you're saying, wow, this guy's old enough to be my father?
Probably. I don't even remember.
Yeah.
It's a lot of new faces every day, every game.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a different landscape. There's no doubt about it. We'll wrap things up by asking you about your very brief Fairfield experience so far. We're talking about as a student and as somebody who's just getting used to college life. How's it been?
I can say it's been very welcoming. I know I'm make a lot of new friends, you know, fans. Everybody talks to me here and there. Cafeteria, everything's good. Food good. Living in situations good. You know, feel like I'm home.
I always turn to my partner here, ask him if he has any final questions or words.
Yeah, it's kind of a good segue to my question. To me, when I played, this time of year was always the best time because you got to play ball, hang out with your buddies, and you didn't have to go to class. So how much fun is it this time of year for you and some of the things that you guys do other than going to the Knick games and things like that? You hang out, you get on your scooters, you go into town. What do you do?
I could say is we get a lot of bonding time with the boys. A lot of us freshmen are really close, so we are together most of the time.
A lot of our listeners are hoping that you freshmen stay together for a long time. So you got to get to work on, you know, Brandon and Declan and Halon, and make sure that we get to see you guys as a group for more than a few years to come. You're going to take that. Now, you already told us you're responsible for Brandon being here as a Fairfield Stag.
Yes.
You're going to take it to the next step for us?
Yeah, of course.
Again, it's on tape, but we've enjoyed having some fun with you here, Budda. And congratulations on a really great start to your Fairfield career.
I appreciate
it. Great things to come from Tony Budda Williams, the starting point guard for the Fairfield Stags. That'll do it for this edition of Open Court Player Edition. Look for our next one to drop about in the middle of January or so. And so for the Fairfield Hall of Famer, Joe DeSantis, I'm Bob Huesler saying so long and thanks for listening to Open Court.